If you were with us last Sunday, we looked at the topic of grace, undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. And this morning, as we are gathered together, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, I want to follow through on this whole topic of God's grace in action. To do that, I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, I want to look at verses 12 through 26. You know, it's always a good idea to get things into perspective. And so I want to look at the original story from Mark's perspective. Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you, to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as they had been told, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. Verse 18, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." The disciples began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one after another, "Is it I?" Jesus said, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And Jesus said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." May God bless the reading of his word. Now, many scholars that have written things about some of the different books in the Bible over the years feel that Mark here, the writer of this gospel, was acting as a scribe for Simon Peter. In other words, this account that we just read in Mark's gospel is really considered to be an eyewitness account of what happened on that night that Jesus was betrayed. You know, I think that in order for us to better understand who of us should be included at the table, well, in order to do that, we need to take a good hard look at who really was included when Jesus brought the 12 together that night to celebrate the Passover. Now, first of all, as we discovered in the few verses that we read, in that motley crew of disciples that were gathered together to celebrate the Passover, there was one who would betray Jesus. All right? If we were to go back to the section in Mark's gospel just before the passage we just read, the heading in my Bible actually says, "Judas agrees to betray Jesus." And your Bible may say that as well. And we read in Mark chapter 14, just a couple of verses before the verses we read this morning, in verse 10 and 11, we read, "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests to arrange to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted," we read, "when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money." And what does Judas do? Well, keep reading. So he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. I wonder if you can see the significance of the narrative here. Judas was the one who went to the leading priests. They didn't recruit him. He didn't get a phone call one day saying, hey, you want to come to our side? No, that didn't happen, right? He went looking for an opportunity. Judas was the one who went to them and offered his services to them. Oh, and by the way, to make it even worse, Jesus knew about it. He knew what Judas would do. He knew what he was going to do. And that's why Jesus could say in Mark chapter 14, verse 18, as they were at the table eating, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. One of you eating with me here will betray me. But even so, Jesus invited Judas to participate in the meal. You know something, personally, I think if any person should have been excluded that night as this intimate party of people were together, I think it should have been Judas. I really do. But it was Jesus who extended his grace to someone who had already made up his mind to betray him. In fact, Judas had already put the plan into motion. And as you can probably imagine, there are all kinds of theories as to why Judas betrayed Jesus. Some make him out to be a villain. Others make him out to have simply made a tragic miscalculation that resulted in the death of his friend. But it doesn't matter, because the one who rejected the lordship of Christ in his life, who basically said after weighing the pros and cons, I'd rather align myself with Caesar than Jesus, this man was still invited to the table. I don't know if you've ever been or felt betrayed. I have in my, I consider my life to have been rather longish already. I've had people betray me. And honestly, I'm not sure, had I known in advance, if I would have been all that excited about inviting them to dinner. All right? It's just how it is, right? And yet, that's what Jesus did. So among all of the disciples, there was one who would betray Jesus. Now, if it had ended there, if it had ended with Judas and his betrayal, then perhaps we could rationalize a little bit and say, well, I guess he was the exception to the rule. I guess there's one bad apple in every basket. I guess that's to be expected, only that wasn't the case, because among the disciples with Jesus that night, not only was there one who would betray Jesus, there was also a disciple who would deny him. There was one disciple present with Jesus and everybody else there that night who would deny Jesus. As a matter of fact, right after the passage I read earlier, my Bible has a heading that says, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And maybe your Bible says something similar as well. Now, if you don't know the story, it goes something like this in Mark chapter 14. On the way, Jesus told them, by the way, you wouldn't believe it if I told you, but tonight, all of you are going to desert me. All of you are going to leave me stranded. Every one of you is going to abandon me. For the scripture says, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And there's Peter sitting in the corner thinking, Lord, that's not going to happen. Are you kidding me? I would never let that happen to you. Maybe the rest of them will, but I'd rather die than deny you, or words to that effect. And yet within 12 hours, Peter had denied that he knew Christ not once, not twice, three times. And if I can come to Peter's defense this morning, he wasn't alone. He wasn't the only one. The others all scattered as well. And maybe they didn't deny Jesus with their words, but they certainly denied Jesus with their behavior. They turned their backs on Jesus when Jesus needed them most. And on that day, when Jesus invited them to join him at the table, he already knew that when it came time to choose to do what was easy or what was right, they would all choose what was easy. Now, I know we like to think that we would always choose to do the right thing, and maybe you do, but I'll be honest with you. There have been too many times in my life when I have chosen to keep my mouth shut and go along with the crowd in order to get along instead of speaking up. Somebody once said, silence is golden, but sometimes it's just plain yellow. And yet, in spite of that, the invitation to come to the table still stands. It still stands. Now, along with the one who would betray Jesus and the one who would deny him, there was also a disciple there who would doubt him. Who would doubt him? For most of us, we know him and we recognize him as Doubting Thomas. But to all of his friends, he was just Thomas, right? Now, just think about this guy for a moment. He'd been there right from the very beginning. He had watched as Jesus fed thousands of people with a few buns and a couple of small fish, and he had seen Jesus walk on the water. He had watched Jesus heal the lepers. He had watched as the blind saw and the deaf heard and the lame walked. Even better, he knew what Jesus could do because he had seen what Jesus did do. But after the crucifixion, this guy was so caught up in despair that he just couldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 and 25, we read these words. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and I put my fingers in them and place my hand into the wound in his side." You know something, it's easy to call him Doubting Thomas, right? But is there anyone here who has never had any doubts before? Anybody here who has never been without doubts? I take that as a no, right? You see, here's the thing. Whenever we want to be in the driver's seat, whenever we want to be in a position to call the shots, whenever we go down a rabbit trail that we know we shouldn't go down, we do it because we doubt that God has something better planned for us. When we don't give, it's because we doubt that God can be trusted to provide for us. When we don't tell others about the Lord Jesus, it's because we doubt that they would be interested or that it would change their lives. And whenever we aren't obedient to God, it's usually because we doubt that he wants the very best for our lives. But believe it or not, 2,000 years ago, that doubter, Doubting Thomas, he was invited to come to the table, to eat and to drink. You see, the reality is that on that night, when those 13 people were gathered together to celebrate the Passover, there was only one person present who was perfect, and that was Jesus. He knew that it wouldn't be long before he would be betrayed, before he would be denied, before he would be doubted, and yet in spite of all that, he invited them all to the table. And can you believe it? Today, he still invites us. In spite of my failings and your failings, and in spite of my faults and your faults, this morning, as we come to this table, as we come to the Lord's table, I want to remind you of Paul's words from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where he writes, "God saved you by his grace when you believed. In fact, you can't take any credit for it because it's a gift. It's a gift from God. Listen, this morning we're all invited to come to the Lord's table. We're invited to come to this table of grace, a table that's been prepared for us, even though we're all sinners, even though we all fail, even though we will continue to do so. And that's why, as we prepare our hearts, it's important to remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, where it says, "That's why we ought to examine ourselves before we eat of the bread and drink from the cup." By the way, I repeat this most every time we gather together for communion, but did you catch who you're supposed to examine? It's not the person in the row in front of you or behind you. It's not the pastor leading the service. It's not your spouse or the stranger in the back, but it's each one of us that is supposed to examine ourselves. Because communion is a means of grace, accomplished for us, totally without our help, and totally undeserved. So this morning as we come, I trust that you'll experience God's grace as we celebrate this occasion together at the table. One of the songs that comes to mind over the years that I have enjoyed listening to is a song that Michael Card once wrote, I think back in the 90s, 1990s, okay? The song is entitled "Come to the Table," and as you take the time to just meditate and examine your heart, listen to the words of this song.